Welcome to the January 28 Committee of the Whole meeting for the City of Geneva. I'm Don Cummings. I'm Second Ward Alderman, along with Rich Marks. First item on the agenda is to consider the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, before we move on it, may I make a correction on the Committee of the Whole minutes?
Yes.
Of January 14th. It shows that I'm one of the absent officials, but I wasn't. I was present at that time. So if that could be made corrected, I would.
Duly noted.
Thank you.
We have a motion for the consent agenda.
And I'll second that.
And a second, Alderman Flanagan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next item on the agenda, approve aldermanic listening session minutes from July 19 and the Committee of the Whole minutes from January 14.
Move approval.
That was asterisked. My apology. I would like to abstain from the listening session minutes approval because I wasn't there at the listening session, so I shouldn't be approving those minutes. Okay, items of business. Item A, recommend annual abatements for the 2012 tax levies.
Second.
Discussion? Tom, do you want to have anything to say? No? Okay. Any questions on it? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Next item, recommend nomination of the Pure Oil Station, Pure Oil Building at 502 West State, to the National Register of Historic Places. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Anyone? All in favor?
I have a question.
Yes, Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This will not restrict any physical changes to the Pure Oil building that have been proposed and I think approved by our
city council. All the plans are approved, and the building improvements and the restoration activity is under construction. Course, right now. This is actually a nomination petition that was submitted by the property owner, St. Charles Bank and Trust, and with this, the approval of this nomination and placement on the register, the property owner is then in a position where they can apply for a 20% investment tax credit on the property. It takes the form of a federal income tax credit.
Okay.
It's 20% of the cost for the project on an adjusted basis.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Any other questions? Thank you. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item C, recommend draft resolution terminating the light agreement with the Unity Building, 306-308 West State Street.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion there?
Yes, I think I'd like to hear his view of this from Mr. Edmonds.
No, sorry.
Yeah. This has been there a while, right?
10 years. It is. I did put a quick summary in the memorandum. The fact was that this, one thing that I learned when I looked into this, and it surprised me, we all knew about the Rittman plan in 2005. This actually predated the Rittman plan, but it was put out there. It was originally funded through a grant with the city taking on 10 years responsibility for maintenance, and the agreement is up this November, and the property owner has indicated that unless we continue to pay for all the maintenance and the power costs, he will not choose to continue. So given budgets the way they are, we were making the recommendation to terminate early. And he, Mr. Sansoni and I spoke several times on this in person when he was here last December, and via telephone. And he said that without the agreement, he would like the lights removed. So,
are we basically doing this for financial reasons or liability reasons?
I think you could probably assign quite a few reasons. One would be financial. One would be equity to the other property owners for whom we're not doing it. Third would be long-range planning, because we don't have a dollar amount budgeted every year to maintain and put new lights in. Did I miss any, Mary? Yeah. Okay.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The restoration, will it cost? Are we budgeted for that?
It'll be absorbed by the electric utility during their work hours, because we've agreed to do it. We have to cover.
I know that we have to, but I didn't know exactly if it was budgeted for that amount, or for any amount.
We haven't budgeted any amount every year for it. And we've just taken the expenses of it as they come.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you.
Do we know what the expense will be to remove the lights and to do the masonry work? And return it to its original state?
If you give me a minute, I did have that information from Jennifer Hilkeman. I know it's less than a half a day's work. Dan, do you recall the exact amount? Gosh, this microphone is hot tonight. I can hear my voice. It is less than a day's work. So let's see if I have that from her.
I had another question. I was wondering, obviously there are aldermen that were on the council at the time. What was the motivation to approve this at the time? And what's your opinions as relates to it? I know it was approved at a different time and place. But it seems that it wasn't that long ago. And again, although there's obviously dollars involved here, is the aesthetic benefit worth the investment to continue?
Alderman, if I may, it's been relayed to me by several people that it was of extreme interest, and there was interest also to light the whole town up and down the river as well. But it seems that everyone wants to do it if the city's going to pay for it. Nobody's stepping up to pay for it themselves.
I guess my only argument is that this is the downtown, and again, that has been the darker side of State Street, not literally.
I think Third Street's even darker. So
yeah.
You're ignoring that.
But obviously, people cast a vote in support of this at the time. I just was wondering if anyone's changed their opinion or their attitude in regard to it.
I can chime in, too.
If I could chime in. Mm-hmm. So, Dean, your question is exactly on the lines that my questions through email to Dick and Ellen and Mary were. At the time, we were attempting to set what I would call an aesthetic standard. For development in the downtown, external lighting. We couldn't get property owners to do anything along these lines on their own, so the only way we were going to be able to make it happen is through our own expense. And when we approved this, I think that the idea was it would be the first domino to fall in a series of dominoes. The problems in our many, but the biggest problem from my perspective is that the dominoes never fell. We did this, and that's been pretty much it. So it was an investment, and the investment just didn't take root, didn't take hold, didn't take off. And so given the economic constraints we face today, given the budget, I told them I would support this, but I think an important fact is that the property owner is removing the lights, but he's not doing anything that would preclude a change in the future should circumstances improve. So if we get to a point where we want to go back into making this type of investment, we can do that without having a whole lot of rework done.
It would be something we could do with business district funds, too. But then again, you've got a 20-year limit on a business district, so it would have to be a program put in place where the property owners would continue beyond the life of the district. So, and I don't think that I would recommend again that the city pick up the power cost.
Okay. Thank you.
I, in essence, was going to basically say exactly what Alderman Maladra said. It was kind of the one building that we had thought would make a domino effect, and it did not happen. So, and I would support this because if the business owner doesn't, I mean, if the owner of the property is really not for it, I don't know how beneficial it is.
Yeah, I think everyone appreciates that the lights have been there.
I think they're great. I thought they looked really nice.
Yeah. And we've thanked Mr. Sansoni for participating. He's a very good landlord, truly is. So.
I believe there was a study that even preceded this that was, as Alderman Maladra had basically, what you mentioned came out of a study which attempted to identify a number of different things that could spruce up the downtown. Mm-hmm. And this was one of the items, and then it was attempted to start it, and it started with Mr. Sansoni, but I believe it was a study. Mr. Unch, do you remember how far back that was?
Is it the Rittman lighting plan?
The lighting plan is what came afterwards. This particular project,
I just recall that this project was driven by a couple of different things. There was the interest of doing this enhancement to the fronts of the buildings, just as accent lighting. There was also some concern about the sidewalk lighting along that section of State Street, and the types of luminaires that were put on the building have a downlight on them as well. And so there was some residual benefit in adding a little bit more lighting to the sidewalk. So it was kind of a combination of those two things. And then on the heels of this, when the decision was made to do the Rittman plan, which really expanded the scope up and down State Street, up and down Third Street, there were recommendations, and still are recommendations in that plan, that include lighting at different points along the river. The focus on Third Street was on the historic architecture and designing lighting that would specifically accentuate the architectural features of the buildings along Third Street. There were a number of ideas in the Rittman plan.
Am I wrong in thinking that this sort of came out of the facade program, which was coming to an end, and people were thinking, where do we go from here?
I don't recall that.
Yeah, I have a memorandum that had been written September 2003 saying the downtown building facade improvement project is a culmination of many hours of review and consideration on the part of the Business Commission, and before it, the Retail Task Force, the City's Historic Preservation Commission, the City's Economic Development, Community Development, and Electric Utility Department staff. So.
It was part of the progression of the city investing in the downtown, mm-hmm. which included the upgrades on Third Street, included the facade program, which went for many years.
So I think, I think the point is, We set off in a direction, and it's probably still a good direction, but we've run into a bit of an economic storm, so we have to pause in our efforts to continue in that direction. That's the way I'm looking at it, at any rate. So I can support this as, you know, without saying we have to change direction completely. Mary?
Mr. Chairman, if I might suggest to the council, if the council is interested in continuing a program like this rather than focusing on a particular property owner, my suggestion would be that we put together some type of program so that it's equitable to the whole business community, so that anyone could apply for it, and that we identify a source of funding going forward. Because right now, it's just the maintenance, the electric, the replacement of the equipment has mm-hmm. just come out of the operating budget of electric unplanned for. So there is no funding plan. So that, I think, should be in place first, in addition to making it available to any business property owner that might be interested, should the council go forward with it, would be my suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Ellen, have there been studies taken or recommendations from groups, architectural groups, or consultants that have suggested that the lighting, if we could get the lighting to expand from let's say, the river up to the western side or the western end of the business district would increase the attractiveness and the possible increase of business owners and increased sales and increased sales tax.
I think you're subconsciously drawing on your downtown Geneva partnership.
Yes.
There, because yes, all of that was said, not quantified.
Okay.
In dollar amount, there are studies that show that aesthetics, you know, can just improve a general business district, but nothing to quantify it. It stops crime, obviously.
Sure.
The Rittman plan, I think, is what you're referring to.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we decided not to spend any money on that, apparently, after we started.
Well, the plan was put in place with the intent of each individual property owner funding their own improvements.
Okay.
And it just hasn't happened.
And they've decided not to spend the money to improve their own locations.
Well, none have asked while I've been here in five years,
right,
is all I can tell you.
Well, that's disappointing that nobody has made any requests to continue with that Rittman program, which I do recall we discussed a lot in that one committee that I was involved in. And that's disappointing, but I don't think that the rest of the taxpayers should be paying for improvements that were made for one individual property owner, and even though he helped participate financially. But
and I will stress the original lights were purchased through grant monies through the small cities. Mm-hmm. So the city did not do the outlay, but we've paid for the maintenance and the power.
Yes, yes. And that's eating into our budget.
You told us to cut. We're looking in every corner.
Yeah, well, okay. So if the businessmen want it to look better and brighter, belly up to the bar.
Your building is always your best sign.
Sure.
So the condition of your building is what will attract a person first.
I Alderman, hope they pay attention to the decision tonight.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Helen, I presume that the city is going to have to absorb the cost of removing the lights and then the repairing as to wherever there were any needs for repair done to the buildings.
Correct, and that was in the original agreement that we would, that's the obligation we signed on to.
Yeah, okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions, comments?
Chairman? I think the bottom line here is simple, that it wouldn't cost Mr. Sansoni much to keep this going on his own, mm-hmm. since the fixtures have been bought, et cetera, but he's a reasonably knowledgeable landlord downtown, and if he feels it's not enough of an increase in his visibility in business to not do it, then, as Alderman Hill pointed out, I don't think we should ask all the citizens to do it.
And I didn't find in my file the cost. I apologize for that. Mm-hmm. I think we're at a point in time, though, where the fixtures would need replacement. And for us, we're at the point where to replace them would cost the same as removing them. And if he's not going to sign on to the agreement after November, why replace them? So.
Did you want to go?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I'm wondering, obviously a lot's happened with solar over the last 10 years since this was originally initiated. I'm wondering if in fact you could dramatically reduce the ongoing electrical bill as it relates to these types of lights, if some type of a solar installation would have more appeal to our businesses, and if they only had a one-time expenditure, if they might not be more open to that type of an idea than something that is going to be an ongoing drain on their finances.
I think it makes common sense that a property owner would want that. We do sell electricity.
Have we done any? Did we do any investigation into that? Or
no, I have not investigated expanding the program right now.
Are we aware of any municipalities that are using solar for this type of lighting?
They're probably not in the business of looking at it at all. You know, we're a different situation. We're one of five municipalities with our own electric utility. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan?
No, nothing yet.
Okay. Thank you, Ellen. Questions, comments, anything else? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 I will abstain because I lease from Mr. Sansoni.
Next item, item D, recommend draft resolution terminating cleaning contract with Crystal Maintenance Service on February 28, 2013.
Move approval.
Second.
Second, Mark. Questions, comments? Dan's having a good night.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, Ron.
Apparently, their determination of the contract is one that we don't have to concern ourselves with any legalities involved.
There are provisions within the contract for us to be able to terminate the contract, so we're taking advantage of that and recommending that we do so.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I had a question. For the benefit of the public, what were some of the issues that we had with the firm?
Without constant reminding of cleaning certain areas and things, it was something that you had to repeatedly have to tell them, clean the floors regularly, clean the bathrooms regularly, don't water down the soap, those types of things.
And this has been going on for a couple of years. The first year was acceptable, or has it always been that way?
It's been an ongoing thing. It would get better. Then there's high turnover in the staffing, so then you're re-educating.
Okay.
And so it's been an ongoing. It'd get better at times, but then it always seems to go back.
Thank you.
I have one question.
Yep.
And are we confident? Well, I don't know if we're confident, but have we investigated the current, the one that we've accepted?
Well, that's the next agenda.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. Jumped the gun. I'll ask it the next time.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item F, recommend draft resolution authorizing contract for construction material testing. Recommend approval of bid award and contract with Unimax Management Corp for city facility cleaning services March 1, 2013 through April 30, 2014 in the amount of $49,000 with a two-year extension option.
Move approval.
Second.
Well, Alderman Marks.
Now may I have my question?
Yes.
have we looked into the satisfactory job that they've done for other facilities?
We checked references similar to what we did with Crystal Maintenance, so you really don't know until
that's
you get them here. But the references have checked out favorable, so we recommend moving forward.
Thank you.
I noticed you didn't open the bid from Crystal Maintenance. Is this is allowed under state law to disqualify a bidder?
The fact that we're rejecting the bid didn't make sense to open the bid, so we did not open it. We will turn it in when we issue the termination letter.
I had a question.
Yes.
I noticed on here that the fire stations are absent, that there's no daily cleaning taking place at the fire stations. Is it because the firemen are cleaning their own quarters?
I believe so.
Is there there 20?
Pardon me?
24/7. So they're round the clock, so they do.
Our police department is, they're 24/7 too, right?
They're not, no, they're not.
They're patrolling.
Not, right, they're patrolling, but they're not sleeping there.
I hope not. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Olson.
Yeah, that's cool.
Any other questions?
Just a quick comment, it's just absolutely really interesting how the value, the price of the product has increased from what we were paying previously was close to $42,000. Now it's up to somewhere around $49,000. And I saw some of the other bids that were absolutely astonishing, $60,000. Mm-hmm. And here's one for $98,000. I mean, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, the pricing did vary quite a bit.
It sure did.
The amount actually, the $49,000 includes, it's $42,000 for the fiscal year, but we're including March and April of this year.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
How we get up to that amount.
I see.
But the fiscal year 13-14 is $42,000, which is very close to the amount that we were previously paying.
Yeah.
There's minor, there's actually some decreases in some of the facilities, and then I think Public Works went up and the others pretty much stayed the same or went down.
Okay. Well, I'm pleased that you just are going with the one-year contract and hopefully go on for an option with an extension for the next year or the previous years. I think that's the way.
We'll see how they go the first year and decide whether we want to continue or not.
Right. That's a good idea. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Now, item F, recommend draft resolution authorizing contract for construction material testing services with Rubino Engineering in the amount of $49,300. $390.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion, questions?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Hi, Pam. Were was this sent out for bid, and were other companies, or were the other companies consulted as to what they may charge for this service?
Yes, we send it out every year to numerous companies, and this year we received bids from several different companies. They're listed in the bid tab that's attached.
Okay.
There was five companies that submitted bids, with Rubino being the lowest.
Okay, fine. Thank you. I apologize. I did not see that.
That's all right.
I've been playing games with my laptop that hasn't had time to get to all of those
That's
details.
A good question.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Item G, recommend draft resolution authorizing Fifth Amendment to intergovernmental agreement for operation of TRICOM.
So moved.
Alderman Marks.
Second.
Second by Flanagan. Questions for the chief?
Should be noted that this change to the agreement is to help bring on other entities that would like to use TRICOM, and this should in the end lead to lower costs for the three cities that are the...
Yes, that's true. The funding, part of the funding that goes into our 911 center is called is a surcharge on the telephone line you have coming into your house. We call that hard wire. As people convert to cellular and eliminate those hard lines, the revenue has gone down. Under the state of Illinois, they have a series of emergency telephone systems boards, also known as ETSB, which collect those funds and then distribute them to the individual 911 centers in that geographic area. The revenue that's coming into the King County ETSB has continued to be going down. In fact, this year it's at the tipping point, where it just barely keeps up with the expenses today that come out of having four public safety answering points, or otherwise known as 911 centers. At this point, there's a possibility that two of those centers may fold into the other two. And this amendment puts TRICOM in a position to work with those centers who might be interested in coming into TRICOM. And it creates a funding process and a method of assessing costs that insulates what we now call the original members of TRICOM, which are Batavia, Geneva, and St. Charles. Everybody else, all other agencies would be known as contractual agencies. So the goal was to insulate the three cities against increased costs that might be brought on by bringing in new agencies. And that's what this formula does.
But to allow us to decrease the costs, if indeed spreading the costs over more calls.
If it plays out like we think it will, we think it'll not only stabilize our costs, but reduce them. But we really won't know that for sure until we know what agencies are coming in.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that it's hardwired, and I know that you get the cost is based on the hard wire, but isn't there 911? Isn't there 911 on a cell phone? And how do they recapture that, if anything?
Wireless funds?
Yeah.
Wireless funds are assessed the same way by state law. The cell phone companies collect that revenue, and they disperse it directly to the 911 centers that are in those zones served by those companies.
Okay, so they
yes. That goes into our operating expenses and also our capital accounts. It's the big issue is the ETSB provides funding for some critical processes in all the centers, such as making sure the streets are all in correctly, that the addresses are correctly. It's called MSAC. Making sure that the telephone systems are up to date.
Okay.
We're now looking at a new set of technology coming in called Next Generation 911, also known as Next Gen. And nobody quite knows what it's going to look like, but its goal is to be able to accept text messages and video signals from cell phones.
I was assuming, yeah, it's going to happen somewhere.
And also triangulating cell phones so that...
Right.
And we do that, too, with in E911 now, but with the Next Gen, it's going to be more technical. And so right now, ETSB is funding a study to address that, to set us up so that when those standards come in, we're ready to take them on. There's a lot of looking down the road here to...
Which your
work.
Any other questions?
As the City of Geneva Council's representative on the TRICOM board, I would recommend this along with the chief recommending it. And I believe Chief Mexen also recommends this.
Mary?
Just to let the council know that this is at the committee level this evening in St. Charles. It has been through committee. In Batavia, it will be before all three city councils on the 4th, next Monday.
Just as a point of clarification, which alderman serves on the TRICOM board now? Okay. Gotcha.
Thank you, Steve. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And motion passes. Do we have anything for new business? Business?
I do, Mr. Chairman, unless someone in the audience does. I want to bring to everyone's attention, on the off chance you're not yet aware, there is a gentleman sitting to my left who this Saturday, February 2nd, will be inducted into the Geneva High School Sports Hall of Fame.
Whoa.
As a member of the 1963 Geneva High School basketball squad who made the Elite Eight. And Chuck and the original starting five will be present. And it's an extraordinary honor. Chuck, what was your number?
I was a reserve.
But still.
Seven are going to be here, and then one of my classmates and I will be there. We were on the bench mostly, but it was an exciting time. It was a fabulous time to be in the Sweet 16. Mm. Played Carver High School in that tournament.
Oh, did I say Elite Eight was Sweet 16?
Sweet 16.
Forgive me. Well, then it's really not that big a news.
So, well, Sweet 16 went downstate.
Right, right. Now, what number did you wear, just so we know? You don't even remember the number in high school you wore?
No, I don't.
Well, because we are doing our due diligence with the History Center and elsewhere to get a photo of Mr. Radovich in his uniform.
Oh, cool.
And that will be in the weekly e-newsletter if I can find one. So, you're welcome.
Any other new business? Upcoming meetings, we have the next Committee of the Whole meeting on February 11. We'll now move into closed session. We have a motion on the for the purchase or lease of real property for the
in sale. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Purchase or lease of sale.
For the purchase or sale
of property
for the public body.
Yeah.
And lease.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
Do I have a motion to move into? And we will not be taking any, making any decisions after this session. After
so moved.
Closed.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Roll call vote?
Second. I'm going to give Sandy a second on that one. Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Mladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.